To Glory to Glory, the radio teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. Join us now in our study as we open the Word together.
If you could turn with me, we're taking our text out of 1 Peter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 21 and 22. So 1 Peter 3, verses 21 and 22. The title of our message here this morning is God's Power. God's power. Do you know that we serve an all-powerful God? I hope so. One of our Israel trips in 2005, we were in the bus and we were making our way to the Jordan River to have our baptism. Just to let you know, there's nothing like going to Israel. So we're planning another trip March 9th, I believe it is, 2020. So save the date, pray about it. If the Lord would have you join us, we'd love you to join us. But so we're 2005, we're in our bus, we're getting ready to go down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray. No, that wasn't it. We're planning on going, you know, down to the river for our baptism in the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. It's just a powerful thing. But before we went down there was a lady in our bus and she said, Pastor, she says, I want to get baptized, but my back is really bad. I don't know if I can get baptized. And she says, do you think you could pray for me that my back would be better? She says, I've had this issue for like 15 some years. I've had surgeries and it's just, nothing's been able to fix it. So literally we stopped everything, the whole bus. We anointed her with oil and the whole bus, we prayed for her. We laid hands on her and we went down to the river. We went down to the Jordan. And I says, well, what do you think? She says, I think I can do it. She says, I don't have any pain at all in my back. I says, well, let's do it. So we baptized her there in the Jordan. Throughout our tour, we kept asking her, how's your back? She says, it's fine. Years later, she goes to a different church because she lives, in another town. She lives, a little ways away. But whenever she's in town, she comes back to this church and she tells everybody, God touched and healed my back and took away my pain. Is that awesome? We have a powerful God. Does that mean God heals everyone? No. Eventually, we're all healed when we get to heaven. Amen? But we have an all-powerful God, and God loves to demonstrate his power. And that's one of the things we're going to be looking at. There's many things we're going to be looking at here, but that's just one of the things we're going to focus on. So with that being said, if you could please stand with me, I'm just going to read these two verses. So 1 Peter 3 again, verses 21 and 22. The Apostle Peter writes, he says, there is also an antitype, mark that, antitype, which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers, having been made subject to him. And Lord, these two verses, there's so much, Lord, that we could talk about here in these two verses. I'd pray that you'd help us to zone in on what you would have us to talk about. And that, Lord, through these two verses, that you would give us application for our lives. That there would be something we could apply. We know this was written many years ago, but we know that it's written for us, for our admonition, to build us up and to teach us. So again, Lord, with these two verses before us, may you speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. As you recall, last week I mentioned that most Bible teachers skip over verses 18 to 22. Many Bible scholars say these verses here are the most difficult verses to understand. I brought that out last week. We talked about some very interesting things last week. I made many suggestions, and I want to make that clear. Many suggestions. We need to be careful not to be dogmatic when the Bible's not dogmatic. So we made many suggestions. We looked at Scripture. We do our best here at this church to interpret Scripture with Scripture. That's the best way to get a balanced diet of the Word of God, if you will. So we made suggestions. We talked about things that, we could ponder and we speculate as best as we can based on other scriptures. And that's what we do. We're going to do that with these last two verses. But last week, if you recall, we talked about Jesus preaching to those in prison. And the one point that I want to be dogmatic about with last week's study is the thing we can be dogmatic. He did not preach the gospel to those that were in prison. He did not give them an opportunity to repent, those that are in Hades. Once a person dies, then comes judgment. There's not a second chance. And the reason why I point it out again, because some churches tell you after you die, you can go into this place, the holding tank, and you have another opportunity. Well, that's not scriptural. You can't give scripture to back up that scripture. You can't interpret it that way. So we know it does not mean that. So I can be dogmatic when I talk about that. With these two verses, there's some things I can be dogmatic about. There's other things I can't be dogmatic about, because we can be dogmatic if other scriptures teach it, if we see it in other scriptures. So does that make sense, you guys? Okay, so let's look and see back in verse 21. It says, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm going to start by telling you what this does not mean. This does not mean that we are saved salvation through baptism. This does not mean that. And some of you might be here today and say, well, I was taught that you can be baptized as an infant and you can be saved. It's salvation through baptism, baptismal regeneration, they call it. But it's not biblical. I'm sorry. It's not biblical. If it was biblical, then the thief on the cross that was next to Jesus would not have gone to paradise, right? He wasn't baptized. Jesus would have looked over to him and said, son, you need to get off that cross. I'd love to take you to paradise with me, but you need some water. You see that puddle over there, son? If you can fall down there and get in that puddle, you're going to be saved. All the water in the world cannot save a person. It's only Jesus Christ. And in context, the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us a clean conscience and that saves us. It has to line up with other scripture. So we know that it's not through baptism that we're saved. Why? Well, let's look at other scripture. Ephesians, we know this one. If you walk with the Lord long enough, Ephesians 2:8, for by, can we say it together? Grace you have been through, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. By grace, unmerited favor, through faith in what? Just, you know, some people just do a general thing. Faith, you just need faith, faith and faith. I just have faith, Pastor. I just believe. Well, what do you believe? I believe everything. No, it's Jesus Christ. You have to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. It's a belief in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? And then you might say, well, do you have another scripture? We've got tons of scriptures. We'll just give you one more. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking. He who hears my words, Jesus said, and believes in him, the Father, who sent me, has, can we say it together? Does that sound like being saved? Yes. And shall not come into, but has passed from death into life through believing in Jesus. Faith in Jesus Christ, receiving him as our Lord and Savior. As many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. God's children. There's plenty more. I'd ask that you do your own study in that. But I just want to point out, I can be dogmatic. I will be dogmatic in saying you are not saved by baptism. Having said that, baptism is very important. Water baptism is very important. It's a commandment. We're commanded to be baptized. Go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're to baptize everybody. If you're not baptized and you're a believer, you need to be baptized. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. But let's look at this a little closer to understand what this is talking about. The word antitype, if you're a note taker, it means a thing that resembles another. Or it can mean a likeness or a picture of. Baptism resembles the flood in context it's talking about. There's another antitype. We were just talking about the flood, about Noah. Both of them resemble something. And I believe they both resemble. They're both a picture of the death and burial of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Noah's Ark, when Noah, those that were judged, they were underwater, they were buried, and they were dead and buried, right? Death and burial. Noah in the ark, he was lifted up, and there was a new life that started through his family, through the eight people, also with baptism, a likeness. What is it the likeness of? Death, burial, and resurrection. When we get baptized, we go under the water, blub, 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 underneath, down here, okay, water up here, burial, death. It's a likeness of one dying. Jesus Christ was buried. He died. Baptism, we identify with his death and burial. We come up out of the water. We identify with new life. We identify with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you been baptized yet? You might say, well, as an infant, I was baptized. And, well, did you know what was going on? Were you identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection? As an infant, I don't think you knew what was going on. I was baptized as an infant. But once I believed in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, then I said, I want to be baptized. I believe. And now the Bible commands, be baptized. So the likeness, it's a likeness of, the baptism is a likeness. It's not, and if you didn't get it, it says right here, not the removal of the filth of the flesh. In other words, it's not a bath. That doesn't save you. Getting washed in water doesn't save you. It's the type. If you're a note taker also, the word baptism here means to sink down under, to submersion, to go beneath, or immersion. That's what the word baptism means. You get people that argue, do you sprinkle or do you put them under? Well, according to the word baptism, it means to sink down under. It means to go in. Throughout the Bible, it talks about, it says they went into the water. It says they came up out of the water. Do you know that? When it talks about baptism, it says, and they came up out of the water. Jesus came up out of the water. They went in the water. They came up out of the water. I loved when I was serving at Calvary Costa Mesa. We used to do our baptism at Corona Del Mar there at Pirates Cove. And all the pastors, that was part of our wonderful duties to go down there and baptize people. And we just have tons of people coming to get baptized. One of the times I was paired with Chuck Smith and Pastor Chuck Smith. And so we were baptizing people. And it was funny though, his line was always longer than everybody else's line. It was just the way it was, you know. Everyone's like, I want to get baptized by Pastor Chuck, you know. It's not the instrument though, but it's still, I understand. So I was partnering with him. There's this one guy came out, he was all tatted up. He's walking out there and he walks in there. He's got tears coming down his eyes as he's coming out to see us. And he goes, Pastor, he goes, hold me down for a long time. And we start laughing. Pastor Chuck's, oh, 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 he's laughing. So sure enough, he puts him down in the water, and Pastor Chuck just, he put his arm stiff like this, and he's like, the guy's like kicking like this, and he kept him down. And he got up out of the water, he's going like this, and Chuck said, we started laughing, and he looked at him and says, yep, that's what I asked for. He goes, yep, that's what you asked for. It's not the amount of time we're under the water either, so you know, it's not like it kills the man even better, you know, the old man. At the labor of love, we do a baptism after people accept Christ. Probably one of the biggest highlights of my year, to see all those people just waiting to get baptized. It's almost like, and we had, you know, Eric's here, he helped out last year. Pastor Chad helped out last year. And Dave helped us out. And it's just, there's something about it. You're just in the water, just looking up at the shore and all of these people standing there, families and people crying and weeping and knowing that I need to get baptized. And I would talk to the different people and say, you know, when did you accept Christ? And, you know, a handful of them were saying, yeah, just today when you gave the gospel, I accepted Christ and now I'm going to get baptized. And I'm like, this is so awesome. They got it. They believed in Jesus Christ, became a Christian, and then they walked down to the water, down, 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 to the ocean this time, because they're identifying themselves with the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It doesn't save us, but it's another opportunity to make a public demonstration of your faith. When I When I accepted Christ and I was to be baptized, I could have done it indoors. I'm from Michigan. I could have just said, wait, it's cold. I'm just going inside and let's just go in a bathtub or let's go to the pool or indoor heated pool, please. But I understood the concept of identifying with Christ publicly. And there was a beach I used to hang out with, my buddies and I. We would party and do crazy things out in this, you know, Metro Park, the beach right down the street from where I lived. And it was a party place. It was a place where, you know, everybody went. And I said, that's where I want to go. I want to go in front of everybody. I want everyone to know, as crazy as I was in the world, everyone knew who I was in the world. I want everyone to know who I am now. I'm identifying myself with Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed of him. As most of you know the story, it ended up raining that day. Every station, radio station, news station said 100% chance of rain, 100% chance of rain. And I got on my knees. I started crying. I said, God, what happened? I thought this was our day. And one of the few times I heard God speak loud and clear, God said, I will open the clouds. My sister came in and says, okay, I'm going to call the relatives. I'm calling everybody. Are we going to call this off? I said, no, God said he's opening up the clouds. And she looked at me. She said, you got more faith than I have. And I said, well... And I said, and I'll never forget this, I said, God can't lie. He said it, he's gonna do it. And as we walked out to that water, it was still drizzling. We walked out to the water. We went to, you know, I went to be baptized. I was able to tell my testimony in front of the people that were there. It was the first time I ever publicly spoke. And that's when I realized, I wanna do this all the time. I'm like, God, can I do this all the time, please? And people were weeping and crying as I was talking about how I came to Christ. And we turned around and we stepped into the water. The clouds parted, I kid you not. And the sun was shining right down on top of us as I went down into the water, identifying with Jesus Christ, his death and burial. And as I came up out of the water, identifying with the new life, the resurrected life of Christ Jesus. That's what saves us, not the baptism. It's what it represents, the antitype, the symbol, the likeness of. Great verse that goes with this, Colossians 2:11. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made, listen to this, without what? Without hands? Is there such a thing? Circumcision without hands? Isn't circumcision the cutting away of flesh? Yes, it's spiritual. By the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of, can we say it together? Christ. In this part, the yellow part that I highlighted here, the Jewish people, this is a ritual for them. They look at it as, you know, this is their salvation. They'll go back, you know, are you right with God? Oh, I've been circumcised. And that's their big thing. This is their ritual. I'm circumcised. That doesn't save you. There's a circumcision that's spiritual. It's circumcision of Christ that saves us. Not the act, not the cutting away of a flesh, the physical flesh, but a spiritual cutting away as Christ comes into your life and he cuts away that old life of yours. Now listen to this. So that's for the Jews. Now the Gentiles, buried with him in baptism. That's what we just talked about. In which you were also, can we say it together? Raised with him through faith in the working of God, then who raised him from the dead. That's the baptism that saves us, having a new life in Christ. Paul tells us in Romans 6:3, same thing. Or do you not know as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, notice the likeness of his death, the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what saves us, Christ Jesus. As we believe in him, we receive him. We identify with his death, and there's a death to our old life, and there's a new life in Christ Jesus, a life of Christ. Look back with me, please. I'm going to back into verse 21. So it says, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a good conscience before God because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Amen. Isn't it nice to have a good conscience before God? He takes away the guilty conscience that comes from sin. You know, some people go crazy because of a guilty conscience. They do. You've ever met anyone like that? I've met people like that. Totally bonkers. They just go bonkers. Something happens in their life and they go crazy. And you're like, what is going on? Well, they need to be forgiven. They need to go to the cross. They need to repent. They need to give their life to Christ. Why? Because God will cleanse them of that guilty conscience. He'll take away the guilt. He'll take away the shame. He'll take away all the garbage that comes with sin. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. In other words, God does not condemn us. Once we give our life to Jesus Christ, the condemnation is gone. Then you might say to me, well, you know, I still feel guilty about some stuff. Go to the cross. Ask for forgiveness. Repent of your sin. I believe far too many Christians are on the sidelines at church. They're not engaged. They're not in the game. And I believe part of it could be because there's repetitive sin going on in their lives, and they're not turning from that sin. They're not repenting of that sin. They're not asking for forgiveness. They're not walking away from all that sinful lifestyle. And so there's guilt and there's shame, and they're too guilty and they're too defeated to be used by God. And they're on the sideline. They're not doing anything. They're on the bench. When I played football, let me tell you this, I hated sitting on the bench. That's not what I went to the game for. I could have been a spectator. I could have bought tickets and said, give me tickets. I'll just sit. That's what I want to do. I just want to sit and watch a game. No, I said, coach, put me in. Coach, put me in. I want to play in this game. I want to be part of this game. I want to be a part of this game, and I want to see, you know, victory in this game. I want to be used. I'm called to do this. I'm called to do that. I was a running back, a halfback, a tailback, a receiver. I'm like, whatever position, put me in. I want to win this game. And I believe too many Christians are looking at Christianity as a spectator sport. We're just going to watch everybody serve. We're going to watch them serve. Okay, you guys go. Hey, you're doing good. Keep going. Well, that was terrible. I can't even believe you said that. It's easy to be a spectator. Sit back and complain or say, cheer people on. When they're good, they pat them on the back. When they're doing bad, you'll slam them, yell at them, tell them how terrible they're doing. But my question is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, a blood-bought saint of the living God, are we in the game? And I believe far too many people, because of repetitive sin, they're not going to the cross. They're not experiencing forgiveness. They're not being set free from sin. So what can they do? All they can do is they're out of the game. And I'm thankful that at least they're in church, but God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use everyone that's in these seats right now. God wants to use your life. He created you for a specific purpose and a plan. There's a reason why he put you on this earth. And you might say, well, he put me on this earth to be saved. That's where it starts, to be saved. If he was finished with you when you were saved, why didn't he just take you right to heaven? Don't get me wrong. This is not a condemnation. I'm not up here looking around at people saying, oh, you should be serving. You should be. No, this is an exhortation to say, let's all get on the team. Let's all do our part for the glory of God. Because when we step into heaven, I want to hear, and I want you to hear those wonderful, beautiful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome into the joy of the Lord. Come on in. I've entrusted you with a little thing there on earth. You were faithful at what I called you to do. You were faithful when I called you to do something. Now come on in. Welcome into the joy of the Lord.
Listening to Glory to Glory with Pastor Joe Pettick, an outreach of Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. If you would like to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, call now at 714-788-8221. That's 714-788-8221. We'd like to extend an invitation to visit us here at Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. Our address is 16450 Pacific Coast Highway in Huntington Beach, California, 92649. We're located in Peter's Landing Marina in Huntington Harbor. Our Sunday service times are 10 a.m. and 12 o'clock noon. Our Tuesday evening Bible study begins at 7 p.m. Now, may we continue to go to His throne of mercy as He changes us from glory to glory.